We've crossed over again. I don't know if you noticed, but we went from Shemot, Exodus, and we've now crossed over into Vayikra, Leviticus. And again, Vayikra is, in this case, the actual first word, so we don't have to go hunting for it. So if we were opening the scroll, we would have Vayikra El Moshe Vadaber Yahweh Elev Me Ohel Moed, which would be, speak to the Israelites and tell them. Tell them what? Tell them how to give me an offering. This is how I want you to give me an offering. We're going to focus specifically on the burnt offering today. Now, this burnt offering will have implications, as it always does, in a lot of different pieces and parts in Scripture. Connections. So we'll start Leviticus 1, 2, and 3. And it says this: speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of the livestock of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, there's a number of things to focus on. What I find intriguing in regard to the people as they left Egypt was the emphasis on where the lamb was sacrificed. Where was the lamb sacrificed? In Egypt. At the door. You would bring it to the door, and you're going to kill the lamb at the door. Do you know how many of the offerings Yahweh goes, come to the door of my house and kill the animal? Not just this one. I'm not even going to tell you right now. I will tell you this, most, maybe all. So why in the world does he have us do the exact same thing, come to the door over and over, unless he wants us to connect to it? That it has significance. So the killing has to be the door. He has to offer it how? Of his own free will. It must be a what? Male. And it can have no blemish. Meaning it must be perfect. Okay? Must be perfect. Now, what's intriguing about a burnt offering is only one part of the burnt offering is kept. The rest is completely burned up. And you'll find many of the other offerings are burnt specifically on top of the burnt offering. Every day, the altar was somewhat sanctified or set apart because every morning there had to be start off with a burnt offering, which happened to be a lamb. And every evening, you had to start off again with a burnt offering, which had to also be a lamb. So you almost get this feeling that the first offering that has to be given is a complete life. See, nothing is kept. I don't get to keep the leg. The priest doesn't get to keep the arm or the roast. No. Other offerings, yes. But the burnt offering has to, the entire life has to go up. But there's one piece that's kept, but it's not to be eaten specifically. Let's quickly review before I go on. Burnt sacrifice, male without blemish, own free will, door of the tabernacle of meeting. Okay? Verse 4 and 5. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before Yahweh and the priests and Aaron's sons. They shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Okay? Quick points. One, we have putting the hand on the head. We see multiple times in Scripture, even the reality of passing inheritance or blessing, when he, like last week where they put the hand on Ephraim and Manasseh, there is a passing of something when there's a touching of the head. In this regard, it's that the bull is taking their place. It's like a substitute plan. Okay? So hand on the head, burnt offering, accepted on his behalf to make what? Now hold on to that. Again, it's another fancy word, religious word, that just means a covering. He's going to make a covering for us. Okay? We need a covering, and so Yahweh is going to give us a covering. But notice, we're supposed to kill the bull. This is something that's lost today when we talk about sin and the price of sin. We simply go and most believers go, "Oh, Father, please forgive me." And then we're in this mentality of, okay, I've said it. I've said it sincerely. He's forgiven me, and now I can go on. They ignore in Scripture that, by the way, just because you've asked forgiveness, it doesn't mean you're not going to be disciplined. Right? They completely miss that. Nor the idea of the price. They think, oh, the price has already been paid. Well, that's like saying, well, my son, right? My sons, let's say we're hitting each other, right? And so I sent them to their room. So the next time they're hitting each other, I say, oh, you know what? Stop. But you don't have to get punished this time because you've already sat in the room already. Do you think they're ever going to learn a lesson? No. Discipline never stops. Yahweh didn't go, you know, I'm going to put all the discipline on Yeshua and then you guys are scot-free. No. There's going to be discipline. And we miss out when we have to take a literal life. This animal, which we have journeyed, by the way, either we've journeyed from our home to Jerusalem to offer, or we have now bought it. It walked with us. We then have to take the knife, and we have to literally take its life right here at the door. We have to watch it go from being alive to dead. And in this moment, there's a recollection of my sin cost. Especially when I got to put my hand on its head. Because that could be me. We forget it in today's day and age. But these are here to remind us. Remember that it's done here at the door of the tabernacle meeting. The priest does not kill them. We do. Leviticus 1, 6 and 7. Now listen to this. And he shall what? Skin the burnt offering, cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron and the priests shall put fire on the altar and lay wood in order for the fire. So what part do we get to keep? The skin. In fact, the priest gets to keep the skin. Now, isn't it interesting that we are doing this offering to make a covering for us, and what do we get to keep? The skin. Isn't that interesting? So the skin becomes a covering. You know, there's other times where skin becomes a covering. When the tabernacle would actually go from place to place, and I'm specifically with the ark, do you know what they had to put over the ark? Skin. See, a lot of people in these movies always show the ark all gold and beautiful being traveling through. No, there was a skin that went over the ark when it moved. So this idea, and by the way, there's a where Yahweh has an intriguing use of words, the skin goes over, so the skin being a cover goes over the cover. Because the top lid is called the atonement cover, which actually in Hebrew means the cover cover. So there's a covering over the cover cover. It's almost like Yahweh really wants to emphasize a point of covering. And the skin being the covering. Offering can be from. Now, there's different places. We read about the bull. So you can take from the herd, a bull must be killed, right? If you read on, He then goes through the flock, which can be from the sheep or the goats. He also brings up the two birds have to be given. And he gives different choices. Now, my mind went, bull, sheep, goats, burnt offering, two birds. This has happened before. And it was all of them. It's happened before. And my mind started going, where has it happened before? Before I get there, I want to review burnt offering. I want you to remember that the burnt offering has to be the first offering. And Yahweh emphasizes this over and over. It's the first offering mentioned in Leviticus. It's the first offering every evening and every morning. When they go to sanctify the tabernacle and the priest, what's the first offering? The burnt offering. The reality that, you know what? Peace offering, fellowship offering, sin offering, it must start. And I think about it in our life. You know what? Yahweh starts off with, you better give me the entire life. Then we'll talk about offerings of peace, fellowship, and sin. But you better start off by giving me all of who you are. You don't get to keep. If we're going to make covering, okay, I'll make the covering. I need it all. But it's first. Second, has to be free will offering. You can't be giving the offering, go, I have to. There are times in our life where we're so burnt out and struggling in regard that everything seems like it's falling around us and we're dried out inside, that everything starts to turn into, do I have to? I don't know about you, but I've been there. It takes a long time to get back from being burnt out. It takes a long time. And it's a temptation at all times when we're trying to give. But it has to be a free will offering. It has to be a male without blemish, and it has to be at the door. The hand is on the head. This is the acceptance as atonement, a covering for him to skin it, and the person must kill it. We've talked about those different aspects. Blood and water are mixed as a part of the offering. I didn't bring this up, but the insides, it says, with all that it was in within me, praise his holy name. Well, that would be the kidneys, all those different aspects. They're brought out and with the blood, and then it says that they're clean with water. So blood and water are mixed on the inside, from the insides. Don't forget this. It's part of the burnt offering, right? The mixture of the blood and water. So where have we seen this before? Some of you may already know. Some of you maybe not yet. Genesis 15. So Genesis 15, 1 through 3. Says this, after these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I'm your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Yahweh Elohim, what will you give me, seeing as I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir, or one not born in my house. Now, this exceedingly great reward has to be an inheritance if he's continuing to talk about an heir. It's going to be a great inheritance. Well, what use is that if I don't have any children to pass it to? Now, remember, at this point, he's Abram, so he's the exalted father. He doesn't know Yahweh's plan is to make him into the father of many nations. He's about to, but he doesn't know that yet. What's the inheritance good for? And by the way, the inheritance is this right here. And the word of Yahweh came to him. That's the inheritance. That's the inheritance. Yahweh spoke to him. Don't forget that, because we're going to go on from here. Verses 4 and 5. And behold, again, the word of Yahweh came to him. This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought them outside and said, look now towards the heavens and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. He brings them out, says, you know what? Some of our faith is struggling because faith is belief in what we can't see, right? So Yahweh goes, you know what? Come on out. Now, do you believe that Abram knew that Yahweh created those stars? I believe that. So he comes out going, oh, you want me to come out? You made those stars. You made those stars way in the past, and now you're telling me just like those stars were made that those represent my children? Those stars that are still there? You mean before I even asked, you made those stars to be an example, to be a representative of my children, of which I am generations past when you started the creation of man? You're giving me an example that you created long back before I asked this question? 15:6. He believed in Yahweh. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? Again, I've talked about this in the past. This is like credit. I'm giving you the righteousness, but the reality is in the end, I'm going to see if you can. I'm going to ask for it back when I ask you to do something. But he believed. He believed with a barren wife. He believed that he's left home all by himself. Yahweh told him to do it. He believed that with his barren wife, he's going to have all those children. But then, he also knew that all those stars in the sky were made by Yahweh's hand. If he can do that, he can do this. 15:7-8. Then he said to him, I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Yahweh Elohim, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Now guys, that is enlarged and in red to be like the focus of today. This is the big question. And it's the question inside of us. Will we ever live up to Yahweh's word? Will we ever live up to his promise? How will we live up to it? Let's all be honest. Yahweh's promise, our lives don't often line up. When we look in the mirror, which is supposed to be the perfect Torah, we see Yahweh's kindness. We usually leave and forget his kindness and show the world ourselves. Whatever that is. I also want you to know that in the midst of this, Yahweh reminds him that, hey, I've already brought you this far. And not only am I going to give you children, but I'm going to give you a what? So there's a whole nother promise. I brought you out. You know what? You are where you are because of my plan. So trust in the plan. But of course, we as humans go, yeah, but you're faithful. Me, not so much. I'm human. I fall. In fact, I'm more on the ground than I am standing. I'm weak. 9 and 10. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old what? Heifer. Now this is getting into some females, but you have a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Right? You have herd, 2 from the flock, and 2 birds. Then he brought them to him, killed them, cut them in 2 down the middle, and place each piece opposite each other, but you not cut the birds in 2. And if you read about it, they say not to cut them specifically in 2. 15, 17, 18. It came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. On that same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I will have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. When that pillar of fire and smoke went through those animals, do we not think they got burned up? You have a cloud, a furnace, and a torch pass between the animals, and we don't think they got burned up? I think they got burned up. We don't see Abram have anything in regard to eating of them or enjoying of them. And it's intriguing, just as evening comes, what happens? This wonderful burnt offering. Isn't that what the beginning of the evening always has, is a burnt offering? Now, I also thought this is interesting. Side note. Here is another example. See, we look at this idea of oven or furnace and torch, but it may be more the issue of the smoke and the flame. And you're like, what do you mean by that? Well, when they left Egypt, Yahweh goes specifically, you will know to follow me because there will be the pillar of smoke, right? And a pillar of fire. Now, what's intriguing is we think of them as this furnace and this torch. It could be a literal connection to the reality of seeing the smoke and the fire, or these two realities of it. I don't know. As I went looking at it, it doesn't specifically make a point of two different objects as much as it's something where this huge amount of smoke is coming out and then the fire. Key point. Yahweh begins by telling him a promise. It's where it all starts. Yahweh speaks first. Not us, him. Abram, to whom will I give this treasure? This is what Abram says. You're giving me a great treasure. You're giving me you. But what use is that if I have nothing? Are you going to have me live forever? What use is this? Yahweh says, your descendants will be like the stars. You can hold on to that. He already made the stars. Abram believed. Yahweh credited him to righteousness. I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur to give you this land, faithful. He was faithful to the promise so far, so he'll be faithful to the promise in the future. Other key points. Abram, again, this is a big question. How will I know that I will inherit it? Now, guys, that word inherit can also be, how will I know if I will merit it or live up to it? To what your promise in the word was. How will I know if I merit that? Remember, Yahweh said he believed and it was credited in righteousness. You'd be sitting back going, yeah, you credited me righteousness, but what am I expecting to live up to now to keep the righteousness? What's the example? The burnt offering? Where the animals come from? The animals that Yahweh asked for, were they not already given to Abram ahead of time? Did he not have, through the reality of creation, have these animals being born, and now they're all 3 years old and prepared and ready, so when Yahweh brings them, hey, I've already have them prepared. Here's another example. Yahweh goes, you know what? You need something? Go get this. Where'd it come from? Well, Yahweh already had a plan. It's already provided. The smoking oven and the fiery torch. Yahweh, to your descendants, I give this land. Another promise later in the future. Now, you know what? If Yahweh's made this credit of righteousness, he's going to have to call in that account at some point. Now, remember, it was a promise of a child, an heir. So let's watch this sort of unfold. Genesis 18:10. He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. It hasn't happened yet, but he shows up, and by the way, there's an act of kindness to him, to Yahweh. And he's like, I'll come back. And he gives him a specific, I created the seasons, right? This is the season of life, which, by the way, we are in right now, or close to. If we're not in it, this is when the leaves come back. Well, in other states. This is where things up north turn green. Here, well, they just change a little bit of shade of green and move on, right? But this is the time of life. When you see a time of life, which I've already set in motion from the beginning as a part of my plan, you'll know that I'm coming back. She's giving something he already started as a sign for us. 18:10-11. He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now Abram and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now remember, this is the point. Not only was she barren her whole life, now, on top of that, she's passed her age to have children. So let's just put both of those on top of each other. Reminds me of Elijah. Throw some more water on it. Right? We're going to have an offering. Throw some more water on it. The other ones are cutting themselves, and he's telling them to throw water on his offering, of which he says, boom, and a pillar of fire comes down. Burnt offering again, by the way. Gone. Genesis 18:14. Yahweh says, is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the, what? The Moedim, appointed time, I return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. When he says at appointed time, he's revealing that, again, he has a plan. And he's giving him a physical point, but he's saying, I have a plan. At this point, my plan will come to be. Just wait for that point. Genesis 21:1-2. And Yahweh visited Sarah, as he said. And Yahweh did for Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. At when? The set time of which Yahweh had spoken to him. Had that son, even though she was barren and now past age. 22:1-2. Now Yahweh goes, you know, remember that coin I gave you? I may have given you a coin, or I may have given you like 3 coins, or given you 5 coins. Time's up. Bring it back. See what you did with it. At the time of the high days, Yahweh says, it's calling the accounts. What did you do with what I gave you? One and two. Now it came to pass after these things that Elohim tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, Hineni, here I am. They said, take your son, your only, and it could be say begotten son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a what? A burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. Interesting. Isaac is supposed to be a burnt offering. He's his only son, and Abraham has to be the one that kills him on this mountain. They might say that Yahweh's sort of digressing. How can he keep the promise if the one son he gave him is now taking away? Genesis 22:3. So Abram rose early in the morning. I love that. Abram didn't sit back and go, well, he told me to go. Let me wait a while. He rose up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose, and went to the place of which Yahweh, Elohim, Yahweh had told him. So he prepared, got up, Once the sun came up, I'm going off to do the burnt offering. He told me to do it. By the way, it's a 3-day journey to get there. 22:5-6. And Abram said to the young men, stay there with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Notice the goal is we're going to what? Worship or serve. And what? We will come back to you. I need you to let that sink in for a moment. He tells the two people with him, we, as in me and Isaac, are going to come back. Now, you might say, well, they would have been suspicious if he said, I'll come back. Maybe. Or maybe Abram goes, you know what? If this offering has to go through, he's going to have to either bring him back from the dead or do something else miraculous. We don't know. Other than he says, we will come back to you. So Abram took the wood for the burnt offering, and he what? Laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. The father and the son went together up the mountain. Now notice again, we made a point of this many times, that Isaac is carrying the tree. The only begotten son, the promised son, is carrying the tree. 22:7-8, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Abba, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, Elohim will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. He already knows, if Yahweh needs a burnt offering, it's going to be provided. Now, does he perceive that Isaac is the lamb? Maybe. Maybe. We don't know. But he does say the lamb is going to be offered. We know that Yahweh asked him to offer Isaac. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the messenger of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, Hineni, here I am. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear or worship Elohim, that you have not withheld your son, your only begotten son from me. Don't kill him. This comes in the last minute. Now here's a problem. Does Yahweh still require a burnt offering? Yes, he does. And even while Yahweh is giving mercy to Isaac, something else has to be offered. So at this point in the story, Abraham now has to go down the mountain and scour the mountains for an offering because they brought nothing, right? Unless, you wouldn't think that Yahweh already knew this was going to happen and he already got an animal up there for him, would he? Would he have already gotten the animal up there ready and to be ready to be killed as a replacement for his son? You mean Yahweh actually planned this long before even Isaac went up the mountain? Because we didn't see him go, hey, look, so-and-so just got caught. By the way, watch this, the wording of this. 22:13. Then Abraham, what? Lifted his eyes. Where have we heard that phrase before? We lifted our eyes to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He lifted his eyes and looked. Where did his help come from? And there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram, and he offered as a burnt offering instead in replacement of the son. A ram, by the way, that was already up there. So did Abraham have to worry where the ram or the lamb were going to come from? No. It was all on Yahweh. Even his son Isaac was from Yahweh. 22:14, and Abraham called the name of place, Yahweh will provide. Now I'm going to stop for a moment. Guys, we need to burn that into our mind. When we're doubting and wondering and struggling and we're weak, this is the place we need to go to. The place where we realize that, you know what? This place is still called Yahweh will provide. Notice it didn't say Yahweh has provided. That would make more sense, right? Because it just happened. No, he specifically, and there's a possibility he may have even seen a vision, we don't know. Yahweh will provide. As is said to this day, in the mount of Yahweh it shall be provided. 22:16-17, and said, by myself I have sworn. This is Yahweh speaking. Who has he sworn by? By himself. Basically saying, it's my responsibility. Abraham goes, how will I attain to it? Yahweh goes, leave it to me. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you and multiply, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, he adds, and as the sand of the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies. So now he adds, hey, long back before when I created the sand of the seashore, they are representative of your children. They were part of this plan. You don't see the plan, but you can see the sand I created. And I planned that even before I spoke it into being. 22:18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed. And of course, that can be believed. My voice or my words. You believed it. Key points. Yahweh at the appointed time. We talked about that. It means Yahweh's already set it in motion. I return, the barren Sarah will have a son. Yahweh says, is anything too hard for me? I will come at the appointed time. I've already set a time. At the set time, Yahweh did return and she had a son. Yahweh tested Abraham. Did he truly believe the promise and thus would he obey? That's the test. You believed, I'm giving you righteousness. But you know what? Does your belief actually then turn into trust when it doesn't look like it's going to happen? That's difficult. A few more key points. Yahweh says, offer your son, your only son, as a burnt offering to me. Abram, I will go yonder and worship Yahweh. Hold on to that. We will go back. We will come back to you. That's what he says to the two people. By the way, they've been two witnesses, right? When they come back, we will come back to you. Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He knew there was going to be a burnt offering. He knew a lamb had to be provided. Where is it? And you know what? As a son, he's probably going, if there isn't, why am I carrying all this wood? I mean, I remember saying that to my father. Why am I doing this? I can see him saying the same thing. Yahweh will provide his lamb. This is significant. His lamb. The lamb he has already set out as a part of the plan. And I believe that ram got stuck on that thicket long before Abraham and Isaac started walking up. So you could say that thicket was put there purposely. The ram traveled there purposely on that specific day in history and specifically went in, why it goes into the thicket. I don't know what's in the thicket he has to go, but then he gets stuck. He had to make sure the thicket was hard enough that the ram didn't pull out. Realize all these factors. Abraham lifted his eyes. He saw a ram caught in the thicket of horns. Do you realize when Abram looked up and saw that ram, he saw Yahweh's salvation plan. He saw it. And what he saw was that Yahweh already had taken care of it. His question was somewhat answered. How will I merit it? How will I attain it? Oh, you'll take care of it for me. A few more key points. Abraham called the place Yahweh will provide. Yahweh says, I have sworn by myself. Not by you and me, myself. Descendants will be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. So he gives things of creation, what he started off with, as signs. Yahweh says, your seed shall be a blessing to all nations because you have believed and obey my voice, my words. You ready to make another connection? John 8:42-43. Now listen. Yeshua said to them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Elohim, nor have I come myself, but he sent me. Now again, Yeshua here is making a point that he's the word. What is the truth? But every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Yeshua says, I have proceeded forth. I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Just like that ram that was stuck, but it was part of the plan, Yeshua is stuck. Now, side point, people question why Yeshua asked three times for the cup to pass. That cup is the cup of Yahweh's wrath. If you would like to go see what that wrath is, basically it's the point of that sin has to be paid for at a price, and that's Yahweh's wrath and judgment. Okay? Why does Yeshua ask for it to pass? Well, guess what? When Isaac was offered, Yahweh told him to do it. Did Abraham have to go through with it? No. At the last minute, angels came and said, you don't have to. What if it was going to happen the same way with Yeshua? Now go back and check. He asks again. Probably looking for three witnesses. Two witnesses. He asked three times. His witnesses were, they fell asleep. Sounds like Abraham. They fell asleep. And then the very answer comes out of his mouth. Are you not able to even stay up a few hours with me as I ask about this atonement? Because atonement was for his people, for his disciples. They couldn't do it. And then what's interesting is that it says the angels then came and ministered him. Just like the angel came down to Abraham to give him the answer. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my words. Now, be careful. Yeshua says that his words are not his words specifically, but the Father's words. So what he's really saying is you're not able to listen to Yahweh's words. John 8:47. He who is of Elohim hears Elohim's words. Therefore, you're not here because you are not of Elohim. 51 and 52. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then some of the Jews, it says in some of your scriptures, just Jews, but some of the Judeans said to him, now we know you're a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. See, we've got a sign now. What's intriguing, and I don't have it up there, is that in other Gospels, Yeshua says, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he uses the word am. Now, we let that pass over us because, you know, little words like that don't make a big difference. If you know your grammar and they're dead, he should have said, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he never says that. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which means he is still God over them. They are still not gone completely. He's not the God of the dead, but God of the living. 8:51-52. Most surely I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall not see death. They called him a demon. Anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. And I think this is the second death, not the first. 8:56-58. Your father Abraham, he did what? Rejoice, why? To see my day. He what? He saw it and was glad. Abraham saw the day. Now, saw what? What was the name of the place? Yahweh will provide. He saw that there was already something in place, a plan in place that he did not make. He saw the ram. He saw it and was glad. The Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham? Abraham? Yeshua said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And a lot of people want to make a point of saying that's Yahweh. It's more the reality. He started this whole thing off saying, in the beginning, I proceeded forth from the Father. He is merely saying, I am the Word, and the Word has been since the minute Yahweh spoke it. It's always connecting back to. All right, guys, last few slides to finish up. How did Abraham see Yeshua's day? Listen to this. Yahweh says, your descendants will be like the stars. The burnt offering, where did the animals come from? Yahweh, is anything too hard for me? I have come up with the appointed time. Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a ram. Every one of these things was there before they asked for it. Before asking about where will my inheritance be, the stars were already in place. Before he asked for the burnt offering, they already had it. Before he was wondering about it, the appointed time was already set. Before he even was wondering, well, how are you going to replace Isaac? He already had the ram in place. How did he see Yeshua's day? He saw that Yahweh's plan was way past him into the future, and that Yahweh was faithful to that, and Yahweh had a plan going forth. He saw it. I think this goes back to Matthew 6:8. For your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. Now notice it says need, not want. You guys ready to finish up? Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a what? They were naked and they needed a covering. Right? They needed atonement. So what does Yahweh have to do to make atonement? 3:10, he said, I heard your voice or your words in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I knew to be in your presence, I had to have a covering. Guys, we're about ready to be in the Moedim. By the way, it's the appointed time of life. We need to show up with a covering. Verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, Yahweh Elohim made, which by the way can mean accomplish, appoint, or ordain. He made what? Tunics. Another word for tunics is a covering. Of what? Skin. And clothe them, and he put a garment on them. How much you want to believe, or you want to bet, the skin was out of a burnt offering that he did. They need a covering. Where did the skin come from? The only offering you skin is burnt. Why do we have the burnt offering in regard to Abram and this lamb that's provided? Because we sin, and this goes back to the original sin. Why is the burnt offering the first one? Because it's the first one you need. It's the first one you need. Maybe even the first one that was done. John 1:14, and the Word became what? Flesh. It took on skin and dwelt among us, that we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. That Word, which is going to be a burnt offering, took on skin, which is going to be the skin that was going to be the covering for us to make atonement. Yahweh will provide. He will provide His lamb. And guys, this is my last slide. You ready for this one? Isaiah 61:10. We should be prepared and ready with the right covering. What covering are we given? Abraham said he rejoiced to see the day. Everybody remember that? Here we go. I will greatly what? Rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim. He has clothed me with the garments of Yeshua. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's the garment. That's what He wants to give us. That's what this is all about. A plan to redeem us. That He had before He spoke the even heavens and earth into being. One of those stars in the sky, He placed there with the reality that it would represent you. One of those grains of sand on that seashore was placed there because He knew you were coming as a part of this plan. How awesome is our God. Baruch Hashem. Now it is. His holy name, again, He's putting on us. That we would know always that we are His. Not of the world. Not of this place. This is not our home. This is just a place for us to be with Him now. So we can be ready in the future to be with Him forever. Yevarecha Yahweh v'yishmerecha. Ke Yahweh tibendega tibeteha. Yahweh, may He bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavelecha vihunecha, ke Yahweh agas rostro esplendecer sobre ti ite or toge semendad. May Yahweh, no other gods, may Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh, panavelecha, yisem lecha shalom. Ke Yahweh muestre su rostro sobre ti ite concede su paz. May Yahweh, when He turns His face towards us to judge, to see us, to see our body, our heart, our soul, may He give us peace. Shabbat Shalom.